You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.
And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-hosts, Vanana.
Hi guys, I'm back.
And Aaron Varola.
Yo, what's up folks? Welcome to episode 137 of the Fanboy Garage. We have Vanana back. Yay! We're stoked. We're excited. We need to get her thoughts on the Snyder Cut of Justice League. We've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we missed last week, but we'll be giving you a two-episode dose of our thoughts. Mayans is also back, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Godzilla versus Kong is a thing, and it's hidden overseas, but there's so much more to talk about as well. So let's just dive right into the Snyder Cut. Banana, we missed you last week.
I missed you guys too. I wish I was like, I had so much FOMO, but I was stuck on the couch and I couldn't move. But I had enough time to watch the Snyder Cut.
You brought your homegirl too, right, to watch it?
Holy crap. That was so funny because my best friend, Maytel, like, hates comic book stuff, which is hilarious we're, like, best friends. She hates it. She, like, the only thing she knows is, like, Superman, like, Lois Lane, Batman, you know, Catwoman. Like, she knows, like, the old school stuff. She's also, like, 10 years older than me. So she's, like, she only knows, like, all the
old. Shade on her real quick?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Like,
she she's also 10 years older than me. Wow. I don't get it, oldie.
But I'm saying that because like her knowledge is like older, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I forced her to watch it with me, and she like was not thrilled at all. But I was so impressed with her knowledge because she would be like, "Oh, that's the Batmobile, right?" And like saying like, "Oh, that's Lois Lane, right?" She would say little things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I also gave her the whole spiel about like why the Snyder Cut was special.
Wow! So you set her up with a 4-hour. Pre-brief before you got into the 4-hour, because that's a lot to digest.
Yeah, well, you know, I cut it down a lot.
The abridged version.
The abridged version, but I was like, this is why, like, this, you know, this thing is in front of us right now, and I gave her the whole spiel, and we watched it together. We had to break it up into, I finished it in, like, 2 days. I just got tired, you know, I was just, like, recovering and stuff like that. So I watched the first 2 hours, and I have to say, it flew by for me. Like the first 2 hours completely flew by for me. I don't know if it's because I was just like, well, I have nowhere to go and I have nothing to do. So I'm just like stuck here with this. And this is going to take my mind off of like, you know, the pain that I was feeling. But I'll give you my thoughts. Like overall, I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of surprised me. I wasn't expecting to like it that much and be into the story, you know? What I really appreciated was that I felt like what I've always critiqued DC on was that their stories or, you know, the trajectory of like plot lines for films felt like it didn't have as much heart as I wanted.
Right.
And I felt like with Justice League, the heart in the story was there. You know, I loved, you know, Cyborg and his like with his dad and the emphasis more on Cyborg and the Flash's characters. Mm-hmm. My friend Maytel really loves the Flash. She thought he was so cute and she was like rooting for him the whole time. It was just kind of fun watching it with a friend that is not involved in any of this at all. So I also got like her take. She thought that she said at one point, and I tweeted this, she said at one point, like, wow, this movie refuses to end, especially like the second half with like all of the extra, like almost like cut scenes, you know?
Yep.
Like towards the end. So I also felt like when we got to that part, I was like, okay. Like, I felt like it should have just ended with the video, the audio tape,
right,
voiceover, and it should have ended on that note. Right. I thought that would have been so beautiful. The message was really strong. So I really appreciated the heart in the story. And I also like the treatment of Wonder Woman a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like in the first movie, like she was just like this like side piece, like the same critique I had in Wonder Woman 84. Like she's right. This like side thing. Right. In this version, we really saw like her, she's so powerful, man, you know? And yeah. I thought he brought justice to that compared, no pun intended, compared to the theatrical cut. And then I would say the last thing that I thought I might not have liked and I've critiqued when, you know, before the Snyder cut came out was the color. Yeah. And I didn't see the black and white version, but, I really liked the coloring of this film compared to the theatrical cut. I think it made more of an impact and it was quite beautiful. So I take back what I said about me not liking our superheroes in these like dark, like monochromatic and I like more color. You know, I absolutely take that back. Like this kind of changed my mind.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that what a lot of people are feeling that, and when I say a lot of people, I mean people who weren't maybe crazy about BVS, right? But love this, which I think the three of us both fit that category.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because I did rewatch BVS or tried the other day because of the momentum of this, and it's just it's very different in tone and feel to this
movie.
Were
you feeling like, oh, the rose-colored glasses might be on?
Well, right no, now. It was just to kind of revisit it. You know, and sure. Seeing how it all ties together. And it right. just really does have a very different feel and tone to it. And this movie, I felt like, struck that perfect balance between the dark and, like you said, the heart and some light moments. I did actually happen to watch Justice is Gray.
Okay.
And so I did not think that in 2021, what I wanted was a modern day black and white superhero film, but I thought it was gorgeous. I thought that in some ways, like Darkseid and Steppenwolf and even Superman, his costume to a point, like they looked much cooler in black and white.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. I shouldn't say much. They looked even cooler in black and white. Okay. And there were moments, and I know that if anybody watched Zack Snyder's playlist, which is one of the little extras that they have on HBO Max, he runs you through a bunch of movies that he thinks, like, if you like Justice League, if you like what I did here, here's some of the movies that, like, inspired me. And obviously one of them is Akira Kurosawa's The Seven Samurai, which is an all-time classic, right? And it sure. does have that vibe, like if you watch it in black and white,
right.
Of that type of a classic movie. I mean, some of the scenes where it's just like, you know, like Lois and Martha talking, it's kind of just a black and white scene. But right. like some right. of the stuff, like the more epic stuff, the history stuff, the battle stuff, like that stuff looks really cool.
Did you fast forward to any of that while you were watching that?
Through in the Justice Gray? No.
You just got time to give.
Yeah. I just decided to. Yeah, because I wanted to just kind of experience it. Well, you know what it was? My plan was to actually do that. Just kind of skip through.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And gotcha. Just to kind of see what different things look like. But it kind of struck me a little. And I had time. So I was like, you know what? Let me stick with this. I did want to rewatch the movie anyway. So I figured, why not? Like, this is a great opportunity to rewatch it because I can rewatch it, but like from a different perspective, which like you don't often get that opportunity.
Is there like a timeline on it? Is it going away?
The
gray? Justice is gray?
I don't know what the timeline is for either, to be honest with you. I don't know. They haven't really announced it.
I mean, you know, it's funny. I need to see it again, I guess, just to appreciate the... I did it for Logan, but Logan is...
I did it for Mad Max Fury Road 2, the black and chrome, whatever they call that. That was unbelievable. But, yeah.
I mean, these are just... They're beautiful.
You know what is also interesting is because So the aspect ratio thing, which we did talk a little bit about in the review, like I'm so like cognizant of it now that like I was watching Superman and Lois, for instance, this week, and that's widescreen. And, you know, watching, I forget what else I was watching the other day, and it was in widescreen. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know what, if I get it, like I get the 4:3 thing, because they're watching at home on a television screen. There is something to that. And I do almost feel like it's a fuller visual, like in 4:3 than it is in widescreen, just because of the way,
really?
Like, yeah, because it just the way it fills the screen and the way your eyes focus. I mean, that's one of the original reasons why TV was originally made to be 4:3, right? Instead of, it's just because you wind up losing different parts of the, so I get it for like sprawling, like
the
landscapes and stuff like that. Like you can see in widescreen, it fits, but like, there is something to be said. If you watch this and then you go back and watch like widescreen stuff, it's you almost feel like you're being cheated a little bit on widescreen.
Like they're stretching it too much.
Or just shrinking it this way. Like for some reason, the eye, like I think this works better than this. Like for the, and for those of you not watching the YouTube version, I just kind of didn't think of it, but
you know, I didn't like at first when I saw the 4:3 format, I was like, oh no, is the whole movie going to be like this? You know, because I'm just so used to like widescreen. But I have to say, I totally forgot about it.
Yeah,
that didn't like, bother me at all.
Yeah, like after a while, it's just like, all right, like that's what it is. So it didn't bother me as much as I thought it was going to in the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
So, Vanana, you've seen it. You feel good about it like both Chris and I do. Are you ready to restore the Snyderverse? Is that what you want to see? Do you want to see that? Do you think that's going to be a thing?
You know what? I mean, like, I'm not going to be a, I'm not a, like a Snyder, restore the Snyderverse, you know, thumper, right? But, if he got the opportunity to, you know, really fully flesh out his vision and bring us more movies, like, I wouldn't be against that.
Right.
You know, like, and it's so funny that my perspective has changed so much after seeing the movie, right? Because before I was just saying like, oh my God, I have like so much fatigue. Just get it out there so we can just get it over with. We can just see what he intended and then like, let's move on, right? Like that was like my whole thing before. And now that I've seen what he did, and obviously, like, compared to the freaking, like, atrocious theatrical cut, I'm like, I want to see more heart. And he sold me on the heart. Mm. And, like, I have another friend, Angelo, who has been texting me all day today because he's, like, sat down and actually watched it. And he hates it. Like, he doesn't like it. And we were like going back and forth and I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, I don't like this line. Like in the original version, like that line was better or whatever. And I was like, listen, you don't have to like this movie, but you at least you can appreciate that this is a director that has a vision.
Right.
Joss Whedon did not have a vision and just threw a bunch of like cockamamie like at a wall and just hope that it stick, like it stuck, and tried to do like, you know, funny little comedic things. And this movie also had the little like funny comedic moments, which I also really liked. That were so funny, and it got my friend. Like my friend was like, "Oh, hi, he's so cute," you know. Like it got that type of viewer. Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm for the restore the Snyderverse.
Yeah. So Ron Diesel actually had asked us a question, which ties into this. And he said, with Warner Media coming out and saying no more Snyderverse, do you believe them and what exactly should they do with the Snyderverse? So he's referencing Ann Sarnoff's interview that broke the internet and got everybody all up in arms where she...
Of course they did.
Yeah, she mentions that they allow... You know, Zack Snyder got a chance to complete his trilogy, right? She was very careful to say that. and right. basically saying that they weren't going to develop the air cut of Suicide Squad. And she also talked a lot about how it's not just about movies for them. They're also looking at, you know, HBO Max for like series and to just expand on the whole thing. So, but everybody basically took out of that. She said there's no Snyderverse and how dare they release this interview like on the Monday after all this comes out and blah, blah, blah. So I think for me, just to talk to Ron's question, I don't think it's a matter of whether it believing them or not believing them, right? Because I think that I believe Ann Sarnoff believed on the day that she did that interview that Zack Snyder completed his trilogy and they're not going to develop the air cut and whatever. But does that mean things can't change? Of course it doesn't. Obviously things can change. The Snyder cut happened. So I don't even think we have to believe or disbelieve or whatever. We just let things play out and see, you know, what somebody says today may not necessarily be the truth tomorrow, you know, and all of that. So I don't, as far as what should they do with it, I don't know. You know, I don't know if you're going to invest. So if you're talking about two more Justice League films, you're talking about like $400 to $500 million, right? That you're going to have to invest to make those. If you're just going to do it for HBO Max, I don't know that that makes a whole lot of sense. But do you have to do it just for HBO Max? I don't know. I mean, see, to me, I think that this thing has some potential, like theatrically. I don't think they're going to go that route.
Man.
But, you know, I know I would like to see at least – I want to see the conclusion of this. Like, I'd like to see more Darkseid. I'd like to see that thing get a chance to develop. I mean, we know that The Flash is getting a movie, right? And we know that Aquaman is going to have another movie and Wonder Woman's going to have another. So we're going to live with some of these characters for a little while. Not this story arc, not this storyline, but like, that's why I've been asking, like, what exactly did it mean to restore the Snyderverse? So now we're getting a little bit of an idea as I don't know that anybody knew really what that even meant. I'm sure it's meant different things at different points. Right. But right now, it seems like it means Justice League 2 and 3.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and let this
like
story...
the completion of this story.
Yeah.
Supposedly, even because it's not... You know, he left it open.
Sure.
And that was his intent.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean... It's not necessarily the Snyderverse.
Right.
Because, to your point, these characters still exist and they were part of the Snyder. They were introduced by Snyder in many ways. Or all of them, really. But, you know, hindsight is 2020, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, we just had a killer The Suicide Squad trailer drop. And had the Snyderverse continued, that would not have been a thing.
Right.
In my mind. Like, DC, learned from some of the fallout of BVS and this whole Justice League thing to say, we cannot give the audience what the other studio, Marvel and Disney, are giving. We need to diversify. We need to create a range of different stories and themes that are playing out across our characters. So you're going to get a Joker, you're going to get a Shazam, you're going to get an Aquaman. And now they've brought back, you know, some of those other characters in this particular bubble. I think they could very much create, you know, or finish some of that story. Does Zack Snyder still have it in him to do that? To your point, what's the ROI of all of that? Does it play out theatrically? Does it just go on HBO Max? Is there a mainstream appetite for that? Because I think that has always been the rub with Warner Brothers. They created, you know, BVS was a movie that was not championed by the mainstream audiences.
Right.
It was very dark and very different. I think, you know, thinking about what Zack Snyder's Justice League looks like, a lot of what he gave us was like subtext and like stuff that probably would have ended up on the cutting room floor if studio heads were like, dude, that's a 4-hour film. You need to get that shit to 2.5 hours. Like, a lot of stuff would have been cut. And I think we still would have ended up with a decent film, but I think it would have suffered in the way that BVS did, where we get the Ultimate Edition and it filled a lot of gaps. So, like, would we have stuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, would a lot of that shit have been missed?
Well, you probably could have gotten, like, and we mentioned this in our review last week, is that I think you could have easily made this movie 3 hours and it still right. would have held most of its quality and its narrative structure. Like, I think that there were easy things that if you needed to push comes, you know, and 3 hours would have been okay because we've already set that precedent, right? Yeah. With like the Avengers, last couple of Avengers movies and stuff like that. For a Justice League movie,
those are like Avengers films, man. Like those are so different.
Yeah, but this is Justice League. It's bigger than Avengers in theoretically, right? It's supposed to be bigger than all of that. These are characters that dwarf any of those Marvel characters in the big scheme of things. So you could certainly do a 3 hour Justice League movie theatrically if you build to it properly.
Well, see, that's the point. Yeah. Then you hit it right on the head. There's no way you could do it could have been a BVS film, and then you followed up with a Justice League film that was 3 hours long. There's no way.
Right. That was the original. Again, we know the original sin was they rushed to get to Justice League. Right. That was the whole thing of it. But you know what's interesting? Thinking more about Justice League, the one thing that amazed me is that I think what this movie showed you, though, is that you can, like, I mean, and even Vanessa, you mentioned it earlier with your friend, like how she loved The Flash, right? So that's a perspective of somebody that's completely detached from all of this. But we all had that same feeling, right? So it's like, and that was a character that version of the character, we didn't, putting aside theatrical, right? We don't know much about that or anything really about that character until this movie. Yet that's who we connected with. Same thing with Cyborg. So like you can, I didn't really think it was possible to get me to really want to connect to these characters without them getting like their solo movie first, but they showed that you could do it. So I do think that there's room for it.
But in a 4-hour cut of a film.
Well, in a 4-hour cut, but even in a 3-hour cut, you still could have focused on that because a lot of the stuff you would have cut out, like the epilogue, right? That's, you know, half hour, the first hour, which really doesn't move much. Like you could have cut a lot of that out and still kept a lot of the structure.
Martian Manhunter,
all that. You could have got rid of all that which is fine.
Well, I want to answer Ron's question in that. I think the Snyder cut is very special, right? It's kind of in its own box, and Zack Snyder was able to make his version that's 4 hours long because it wasn't intended for any studio model. Like you said, Aaron, like they would have been like, you need to fit this into like 2 hours and 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's it, because that's how much time we have in like the theater. And that's traditional, you know? So I believe them when they say there's not going to be any of this, because they're just the two models are different. Like this is like a standalone, very special event that the fans got, and it kind of makes it even more special. Now, I think this movement might give other directors maybe a little more power when it comes to their say, or, you know, what they want in the film, you know, maybe it will empower some people, but I don't think the two models right now are in sync, and so we're not gonna see Justice League, Zack Snyder's version of Justice League, like 2 or 3. It will dumb down what he's already done, and what I think people want, or what I want, is the same style of like the heart and the storytelling and like that focus to be in the other films that they already have planned.
Yeah.
Right. Because, they're gonna plan, like they've got their stuff planned out. They can't 100%. Just say like, okay, this just released and the timeline, you know, for the next couple of years, we're just gonna interrupt it. No, like they have stuff planned out years in advance.
Right. Yeah.
Well, although I don't think they have, so let me just throw out a scenario that I think could work. Just based on current trends, right, and the way streaming services are working and things like that, and that's not crazy, because I don't think that Justice League 2 and 3, if obviously if they happen, would have to be 4 hours each, right? We've gotten a lot of the character development, all that out of the way, right? We've been introduced to Darkseid, we've gotten that out of the way. We've tied up some of the loose ends from BVS and Madison and all that, so gotten all that out of the way. So there's no reason why I don't think, especially if he knew that he was going to be able to make a 2 and a 3, there's no reason why he couldn't get two and a half hour, two hour movies done that were made for HBO Max that are just Justice League movies, because that's the one thing that we're not going to get, right? With all of these DC properties right now, we're not going to get a Justice League movie for a long time, or if ever, right?
Right.
Because what Matt Reeves is doing with Batman seems to be in its own thing, and obviously that we got the things we've gotten Joker, that's its own thing. Who knows what's going on with the Harley Quinn universe, because that's all over the place right now. We don't know how James Gunn's The Suicide Squad connects to Birds of Prey and how that connected to Suicide Squad and all of that stuff. Black Adam, Shazam, all of that. We don't know where it fits, but we know that there's Wonder Woman movies and Aquaman movies, and they can still exist on their own and all of that stuff. So I don't think it's crazy to think that just like they make, and it's a little different, but just like they make these animated films, right, that are their own little thing, like in their first particular film, if they feel, and that's the key, that there is a return on that investment with all of this, and only Warner Media knows what that is for them, right? Only they know what they needed this thing to do or expected this thing to do, whatever. But I think that there's room for it. I mean, especially when you think of that, because I mentioned before, do you want to spend that kind of money on something like this? Maybe they do. I mean, Disney Plus is spending a lot of money on these Marvel shows. You know, $200 million for Falcon and Winter Soldier, $150 million for WandaVision. We've seen, you know, Netflix invested $200 million budget into a movie that they're going to be producing and releasing. So, like, it's not crazy to think about. But, you know, and I've seen a lot of people begging to hear numbers on this and stuff like that. It's,
we need to get into that.
Yeah, it's a waste right now. Don't even bother. And there are some early numbers that have come out that, to me, mean nothing because, again, none of us really know how to quantify this stuff.
Yeah. Well, so let's get into this for a second, because everybody, so I made that comment on Twitter and everyone's like, oh, it's doing well.
Right.
It's crushing it. It's great. Like, yeah. What exactly is it crushing?
Right. I know.
The number of people that are streaming this thing, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean dollars.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it may to some extent, but like, you person who commented to me, you love the movie. You are streaming the movie. You've watched it 8 times. Have you given 8 times the value of HBO Max to HBO, to Warner Media? No, you haven't. So that doesn't matter to me.
No, I know it's hard to, because again, and the other thing too is, and I've seen, you know, there are services, right, that try to figure out these numbers. I've seen, you know, Samba TV released a number that said it did 1.8 million in its first 3 days, which is less viewership than Wonder Woman 84 got in its first 3 days. Which is not an apples-to-apples comparison just because of the way the 3 days fall and stuff like that and the holidays. But then you see another one, you know, that says, no, it actually did 35% better than Wonder Woman 84 did and all this. The point is, none of that matters, because what does it mean? Like, if HBO Max and HBO have 35 million, 40 million subscribers and 2 million of them, 3 million of them watch this movie, great. Again, what it comes down to is, what do they consider a success? Right. Like, what does it mean to them?
Right.
You know, like, and all, if it doesn't mean money to them, because again, they're getting, unless all of a sudden they got 10 million new subscribers that weren't there, that's a financial boost for them.
Right.
Other than that, if it's the same 35 million subscribers watching it a lot of times, that's an exposure thing for them.
Yeah.
And it's something that they can kind of brag about and boast about a little bit. But it, again, we don't know whether that's something that really moves the needle for them.
Also, right. how many people use other people's passwords?
Well, that, I mean, and that's not going to factor in, because they're taking in unique accounts and stuff like that. But that's the other thing. I've seen people on Twitter saying things like, oh, just leave it on an infinite loop. No, it's not going to help.
Yeah, I mean, what does that do? They're not
nothing.
Not making money.
Yeah, anybody that knows, if you look at streaming, the only thing that matters is your audience, right? Your unique audience. That's right. The only thing that matters. And you know, if one person watches something 100 times, it's still one person.
That's right.
That watched it. Mm-hmm. It's about getting 100 people to watch it one time. That's what really matters.
Yeah.
And that's really what. So, and we don't know yet what those numbers are going to be like.
Yeah.
And also HBO Max is still an emerging service. So even the overseas stuff, which some of it is video on demand, right? And purchases, I've seen charts like that, but all it tells me is that it's number one. Okay. That doesn't necessarily mean like it's the only new thing out. Of course it's number one. Like it was guaranteed to be the number one most streamed thing. It's right. Number one because it's the biggest thing in streaming right now. No doubt about that. But theatrical Justice League was number one at the box office in its opening weekend. Mm-hmm. It was a bomb. So, but someone's got to be number one. So I would really just, I think everybody needs to pump the brakes and wait for Warner Media to actually, whenever they decide they're going to release numbers or they're going to, that's when we're going to know.
If they report their quarterly earnings in the month of March.
Yeah.
We saw subscribers go up, 5%. We're going to have an indication that that has something to do with Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. And now.
Even that, it's harder because you have to then split it with some of the other things that might be getting released at that time. Sure. And then, whatever. It becomes semantics at that point. But yeah.
And the thing is that, too, I'm already seeing the conspiracy theorists out there that are like, oh, they're not releasing numbers because they don't want us to be right, or, oh, they don't want to be blah, blah, blah. And it's just so you're telling me that you believe that Warner Media invested $70 million additional dollars into this to let Zack Snyder finish this vision, to finish visual effects, to do reshoots, to shoot a new footage. Gave him the opportunity to release this exactly the way he wanted to release it, a 4-hour version in 4:3 aspect ratio in color and black and white, and promoted the hell out of this because they wanted it to fail.
No.
Come on.
No. Yeah.
It's just I get it. Some people just want to fight and it's us against them, but that's just, it's ridiculous. They're not releasing numbers because nobody releases streaming numbers like that. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus doesn't do it. They do it finally when they have their, even WWE Network, they do it when they have their investor calls, and that's when you get the real numbers because they can't lie, right? Yeah. That's when they have to tell the truth, and they're going to be what they are, so.
I mean, just wait till the end of April.
Yeah.
It's when the quarter is up.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's business.
Yes. All right. Well, let's
move on.
You mentioned the Suicide Squad thing, so let's talk a little bit about that trailer that came out.
Bonkers.
Just crazy. It's very James Gunn. It's like James Gunn, dude, who just has an opportunity without Disney. It's James Gunn without the Disney filter, right? Just R-rated James Gunn.
Yeah.
But very, to me, and I kind of texted this to you guys when I was watching it. I was like, man, that trailer, especially the first half of it before bodies are getting ripped open and stuff. Yeah, I was like, this is very Guardians of the Galaxy.
100%.
In the presentation, the music, the jokes, nonstop jokes.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
And I was like, it's fascinating how people are reacting to this, because I was actually surprised. I thought there were going to be more people that were annoyed by it.
No, they're going to embrace the shit out of this thing, bro.
Apparently.
They're going to be bathing in it. Because they're going to be like, oh, look at James Gunn. Look how amazing he is on DC. But he gave the same sensibilities to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
His DNA footprint is still on the MCU to this day.
Right.
And he did it with a PG-13 film. Yeah, he's going to kick ass in this movie. It's James Gunn being James Gunn, bringing in all of his, bringing his brother in. Oh, my God. Why do I blank on people's names when I'm in the middle of a conversation?
His brother?
No, not his brother's name. The other dude. Oh, my God. Rooker.
Oh, Michael Rooker. Yeah.
Michael Rooker. There it is. Bringing in Michael Rooker.
You know what I'm saying? This guy's he's awesome.
Well, and listen, he's not the only director that is a kind of a genre director that has his people.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of them have that. Great directors have their people that are going to pop up in their things. That's nothing new for anybody. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. I was just, and I've been excited about it. I love the posters, love everything about what they're doing with this. I just was kind of expecting a little bit more pushback because it's, especially with the whole like air cut thing that was kind of floating around like Twitter. It's like, well, this is not that. Mm-hmm. So I just was curious to see how people were going to react to that. So,
dude, my yo, John Cena.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
John Cena Unfiltered is like amazing.
Yes.
I love that kind of shit.
So that's going to, he's getting his own show.
Yeah. I mean, and I love that they made a joke. They didn't call him Dildo Head. They call him like, you know, walk around with a toilet on your head or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's going to be crazy. And you know what got me more excited was the realization that it's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
So it's like, great, I don't even have to leave the house to watch. Like, I still haven't adjusted to that fact. Like, the fact that Godzilla versus Kong, which is this coming week or this week as you're listening to this, is going to be on HBO Max. Like, I still haven't digested that yet. That, like, all of these movies, like that's Mortal Kombat, all that is, I'm going to be able to watch it at home at no additional cost.
That's right.
It's like, wow, that's that's,
they basically have, it's like, it's funny because for the month, it's like they have your movie ticket. They have your, like, they have your payment, right? And you're like, yeah, all right, that's the price of a movie ticket is the subscription, but I get to watch all this other content.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that that AMC pass.
Yeah.
You know, that everyone had last year where, like, you pay a monthly fee and you can just, like, walk in and scan your app. I mean, it's kind of like
But I don't get to walk anywhere. I get to stay home and just chill out.
They actually opened the little theater by me.
Did they?
And I think I'm going to go catch a movie there.
Wow.
Yeah. They, well, you're not the only one who's catching movies. I mean, not here yet so much, but I mean, Godzilla versus Kong opened up overseas and made almost $122 million, including $70 million in China.
Yikes.
That is actually, that is actually better, right? That is a better opening overseas than Godzilla King of the Monsters and Godzilla 2014. Just put that into perspective. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
That's how
well that movie did overseas. So that's good. I mean, listen, if Warner Media can do that kind of business overseas with a movie like that and hope to generate some revenue, you know, through HBO Max and then video on demand and all that stuff later, that's cool. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what it does domestically in its opening weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, this, you know, this is kind of the first big kind of movie that's out since now people have been vaccinated and things are kind of starting to reopen a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see where the bar goes right now. Because, I mean, the reopening number one movie domestically this week was $6.7 million.
Yikes.
Is that Bob Odenkirk action movie that I've heard is really good. And I do want to watch it.
Nobody, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I wanted to see that too.
But so we'll see now, like, where is the bar right now for domestic
at my house.
Theatric. Well, no, you know it's at your house.
Sorry.
But
it's a dad joke.
All right. So there's going to be more DC news in a bit and Marvel news because we got release date news and some updates on Black Adam and stuff like that. But before we forget again, let's talk Falcon and Winter Soldier, speaking of streaming. How great is this time, first of all? I mean, everybody's busy fighting over Snyderverse and Snyder Cut and fandom and all that stuff. And all I know is this month, March of 2021, I got to stay home. And through streaming services, I got to watch a four-hour Justice League movie in color and black and white.
Yeah.
I got to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier, right? We had WandaVision, right? And Kong versus Godzilla. I'm going to get to watch all that stuff first run without leaving my house.
That's
and
awesome.
We're all fighting over stuff.
And technically, if you add the subscriptions, pay what, $14.99 for HBO Max?
Yep.
And $6.99 for
$7.99 now.
$7.99 for Disney Plus. That's price. You know, that's not bad considering
it's the cost. Literally, the cost of one movie ticket in New York. right?
For I mean, really, no, think about this for a second, though. Let's pause on that thought. That's bananas.
Yes.
That is bananas. And this is why I'm like, yo, I'll pay the $30 for Black Widow. I know that we're jumping ahead, but or jumping into whatever the hell we're going to jump into. But, yo, I'm paying the $30 for Black Widow.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're
not
right.
Not to go anywhere.
I mean, I got all of that wonderful geek entertainment for the price of one movie ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And we're all fighting over stuff. But anyway,
let's talk. And if
you use someone else's password, then
you get nothing. Then it's free.
Even better.
Bootleg for free.
Although Netflix is starting now to
starting
to crack down big time on that now.
My Sling TV too.
Yeah, they're cracking down.
Yeah. I get messages like, there's too many people logged in. You need to like cancel one. And I just randomly choose one and just hope that it's not someone like one of my friends.
This is Sparta.
Black hole. I'm like, who's the android?
All right. So Chris. Falcon and Winter Soldier is good stuff.
Oh yeah, it is.
And
man.
It's for all the people that say like, and I don't want to say that they were necessarily, well, they were somewhat wrong because it's always been exaggerated, but the idea that Marvel doesn't take chances and it's cookie cutter and all this stuff, like, I mean, we just got WandaVision now and now Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I guess on the surface, like visually isn't anything different, but the themes that they're talking about, the things that they're addressing here are very different for them.
It was like, you know, that last line that Killmonger gives to T'Challa in Black Panther just scratched the surface at like some of the real shit that Marvel wanted to get into, you know, related to race. And I mean, yo, this show has caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Big time with some of that stuff, because I think it's exactly what you said. I think, you know, we take it for granted. I love the Marvel stuff. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm in for a good time. And, like, it gives you the good time with the action sequences and all of that. And then it's like, here's some reality for you, buddy. Pow, break your teeth. And then I'm like, damn, I got chew on this and swallow that. That's tough, man. I start really thinking about stuff. And I'm not even going to lie. Like, there is a line in the second episode where Bucky's asking, they're in that... They're doing that knee-to-knee thing, the gaze. And he's asking Sam, why did you give up the shield? Why did you give up the shield? And he said, you know, something like, if Steve was wrong about you, then he was wrong about me. Bro, I started crying. I didn't even understand what the hell happened to me. I was like, also like... I was watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier, not This Is Us. And legit, I started bawling because I was like, he's validating himself off of the expectations of his friend.
Yep.
Like what his friend saw in him is how he sees himself in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. That's some deep, that is not the only deep stuff that happened there in that episode. You know? That's
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying the dialogue between them and the relationship that's getting built between them, you know, it's just like what Chris was saying before, like it's crazy how we get to like just sit in our living rooms and watch these characters and show unfold, where traditionally before we had to wait. It was like a once a year thing, you know. Yeah. You had to wait to see them, and now we are experiencing them in a much more intimate way. I just love the dialogue between them. I would say the one thing that I'm not so like about is just the plot line with like this is like a underground resistance type of, you know, thing.
I dig that.
You know, like I feel like that's a little bit like cookie cutter cliche. Like
I
because,
dig that shit.
Because you know what? Mayans kind of is a similar thing. So I feel like I'm watching two shows, like with Adelita and like, you know, the like the underground resistance fighters. I feel like that trope is like, okay, I wish it was something else. But if that's the underlying background tone for us to get the real story, right? Like the real deep story.
No, but
I really don't mind it. But we'll see where it goes.
Here's the thing about the concept about those freedom fighters, right? So there's this whole idea of like, you know, they've been around. Like the girl says it in the second episode. She's like, everyone's focused on all the people that came back after the blip and forgot all about the people that were still here.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of that actually, you know, is tackled in the first episode where Sam is talking to his sister and he's like, oh yeah, we're going to do this and that. And she's like, yo, like I was the one living here without you and doing all this other stuff. And, you know, like I think we also forgot about all of those people that were still there because we were focused on the Avengers. And so their whole push is like, let's make the entire like population supercharged. Like I think that's what they're doing. They're trying to make everyone superheroes essentially,
right?
Which then puts them in direct conflict with Zemo,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Zemo does not want any more superpowered people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that to me is like, yo, we're gonna watch these two forces, because you got the power broker who's all about creating all these people, and then you got Zemo who's like not for it.
Right.
And he's just going to like pin, you know, this is going to be the battle of the wits in this.
And then you got Mephisto. Oh, no. Sorry.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Mephisto.
Tell you what, though. You want to hear my hot take real quick?
Sure.
I'm convinced that Bucky's therapist is a Skrull.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Something's definitely up with her.
Yeah.
And we also got the big reveal, though, right? Was Isaiah Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
That was just heart-wrenching and emotional and surprising and important, right? Because, again, here is this is something that has never been addressed in the MCU before. And now, all of a sudden, here it is. And it's kind of a big deal. And I know there are people that think that the little kid who opened the door is Elijah Bradley, who becomes the Patriot, which is a young Avenger, which they're seemingly building towards a young Avenger universe here in Disney Plus, because you have the Maximoff boys. And I even saw somebody, I forgot all about this, somebody mentioned Cassie Lang, which is from Ant-Man. It's got like, he was one of the young Avengers,
and they
too.
Recast her.
Yeah, and Kate Bishop, obviously, we know is going to be in the Hawkeye series. So clearly they're building towards that, or else why would you even, you know, introduce all of these characters? But, and that's cool too. But man, that moment, and that history, and it just puts a whole different spin now on like Captain America and that whole super soldier movement and all of that stuff. So again, adding more depth and not, it's not safe at all. You know, it's serious conversation and it's serious topic and it's timely. And
the whole thing with the cops.
Yeah.
Like, when they walked out of the house.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, oh.
It's like, you are like, you're at like the top of the top, you know, but even that is not going to change anything.
It says a lot about the weight that Sam views him, like how he views himself in the world. Like he does, like, I think the reason why he didn't take the shield is because he didn't want to be the black Captain America versus just being Captain America.
Right.
And that's where a lot of those undertones are kind of shaping. And ultimately he's going to realize, hey, you know, I have to be Captain America because no one else will.
Yeah. Right. Cause look at this idiot.
You know, it's funny. So that idiot, he came off as sort of endearing in the first couple of moments when you see him, and then you just kind of see how the power starts to like corrupt him.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, you know, that whole moment with him, I'm like, oh, he doesn't seem like a bad dude. You know, he's got his best friend with him. His wife is there. They've got a nice connection, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he's becoming Mr. Hotshot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, Jess was watching it and she's like, oh man, I'm going to love to hate this guy.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that the whole idea of like, what is it to be a superhero? Like, it's not just, you know, it's that whole responsibility thing and, you know, being humble and not, you know, it's not about showing off and all that stuff. I mean, that's, you don't want to wind up being like one of the superheroes from The Boys. You know what I mean? Like, because that can easily happen.
I was just going to say, just like you're just playing You just play it up when you're in front of the cameras.
Right.
Right.
And obviously that will probably lead to, again, we don't want to over-speculate because you don't want to get into trouble, but this version of U.S. Agent, which is what that character becomes, it does in the comics, that character has powers. This version mm-hmm. doesn't yet, but clearly it seems like they're building to him wanting to get some.
Yeah, I was like, he's going to get his ass kicked real bad, and then they're going to be like, oh, here, Sam. You, and then he's going to be like, what? It's taken away from me, blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we got four episodes left, which doesn't seem like a lot, and I guess it isn't really, but
they're, I mean, they are delivering. There's so much nuance in this, in the show that, like, when I watch it the second time, I'm like, oh God, man, this is like the face that Bucky makes when he sees the announcement and the guy's talking about Steve being his brother. Mm-hmm. And he's like, dude, you have no idea. And then like the whole fight sequence on top of the trucks.
Yeah.
You see the glances given between Bucky and Sam, like we are doing this shit with like essentially Cap and Falcon all over again, or Battlestar, whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that Bucky jumped out of the car when he was like, yeah, my name's Battlestar. He's like, Battlestar, stop the car. Yeah. I love that shit.
The action sequence are also like really awesome. Like, how about the first episode with that whole like flying action sequence? Dope. That was so cool. I was like,
this is a Disney Plus show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was nice too, because actually from that moment on until like really that fight scene on the top of the trucks and stuff, like in between is not been a lot of action, right? It's a lot of talking stuff. So it actually makes sense to kick off with this big sprawling action sequence for a show that really is not about that.
Right.
That I love that about the show. It feels paced very similar to Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind.
I think we mentioned that, right? The showrunner, that was like, that's their favorite movie.
Yeah. So. And the other thing that I would say is, oh man, this is like the unsung hero of the entire show is Henry Jackman. Henry Jackman is the composer of the show. And he brings, because he composed, I think he composed First Avenger. And has composed Winter Soldier, so all of that music is woven into this show, which makes it feel so connected to, and not that it's not, you know what I'm saying, but the music definitely gives it that cinematic vibe. And I dig it. Holy shit, do I dig it. I love how they like riff on like the Winter Soldier theme, like some good stuff.
So Alan Silvestri did the
First Avenger. First Avenger.
Yeah. Well, and I think also the thing is, too, because WandaVision, for most of its run, the musical cues there were more like sitcom, you know, and kind of more indicative of the sitcom era that they were looking to portray. It wasn't until those last couple of episodes that it became something different. Here, this is very much in that Winter Soldier vein. Yep. It's the first of the like theatrical, for lack of a better term, of these MCU series, right? Where it allows itself to have that kind of a scope. Because who knows what the Loki show is going to be musically. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be like that, you know, like this sprawling epic stuff. But
we're just in for a great year.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron, you started to talk about it a little bit, Black Widow. So, I mean, they announced now that once again, it's been moved. The new date is July 9th.
Yeah.
And it's now going to be released in theaters and on Disney Plus Premier Access. So you'll be able to, I guess, for $30, right? That seems to be the going rate for that.
Yeah.
So we will be able to watch it at home, which is pretty exciting. Now, July 9th was the original date for Shang-Chi. So now the entire slate has bumped. So Shang-Chi is now September 3rd. Eternals is November 5th and December 17th for Spider-Man 3. So really, I think just Shang-Chi and Black Widow moved. Because I think Eternals was always set for November. But now you're talking about, so July, September, November, December. You're going to have four movies coming out.
Bang, bang, bang.
In that very short period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so stoked for that. In between now, you got Loki.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Loki, July 11th, which is 2 days after Black Widow. Assuming they keep that date you know, locked in.
Just bask in it.
Sure.
Yes.
They could have, I guess, if they wanted to, they probably could have. And I don't know where it falls in the timeline, but they could have, I guess, if they wanted to have moved, they could have moved Loki to the Black, to May, right? Where Black Widow was supposed to be, just so we don't have this gap, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. It is what it, well, yeah. But, you know, we'll just be basking in it, bro.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So excited.
All right.
And I mean, like, Black Widow, yeah, I ain't going to the theater for that.
No.
No, I want to.
I would love to. I ain't going to the theater for that.
See, though. That to me is a movie that I could, I'm okay watching it at home.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's not even, it's like, the cinematic scope of it, I think, is, that's fine. That's great. I'm going to miss it.
Right.
You know, like, the cheers and all that stuff. But, like, at this point, I'm like, all right, let's just move on. Eternals, yo, I'm catching that in the theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Spider-Man
for sure, but like, and it's not, I don't know, it's not a knock on Black Widow, it's just like, Black Widow was supposed to be out, like,
yeah,
it's like, it's like turning into like New Mutants, you know?
And, well, yeah, and I almost feel like, after Falcon and Winter Soldier, seeing the scope of this show, and what, scope of Wanda and stuff like that, like, I almost feel like Black Widow, like, it's going to feel like a Disney Plus thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like,
when was that movie originally supposed to drop? Was
last
it like in May?
May, right?
Last May?
I thought it was, like last May or March, something like that.
Yeah.
Or April, something. Or
something.
Like,
it was
right before
supposed
the pandemic
to kick
really
off.
Started to get real.
Yeah, it was supposed to kick off the whole, like, last year.
I think it was like May 5th. I think it was May 5th.
Yeah.
But we were still in lockdown in New York.
I'm ready to see that shit for real. Get it over with.
Seriously.
You know, it's kind of funny because I think while we feel like all of these shows and movies are interconnected, and they very much are, they kind of aren't either. Like, they're connected and then there's time. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know that Doctor Strange is going to have, like they said, you know, the events of WandaVision are going to directly tie into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Well, on which end?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to pick up maybe on Doctor Strange's part, but they didn't really...
Sure. Like... I mean, they connect in the sense that, like, clearly the blip has had major, as you would assume it would, has had major ramifications right on the world, which... And it's good that they're addressing that, because it would have been weird if they didn't, right? But it doesn't have to necessarily connect in very specific ways. I mean, you know, introducing Scarlet Witch, like the actual Scarlet Witch as the character, right? That's a way to get it. And that whole universe and the kids and the spell, no, that's a way to get you to Doctor Strange and the sorcery and the magic and all of that stuff. Yeah. Just like this series, and who knows where it's going to end up. But if it ends up with... You know, Sam being Captain America, whatever. Like, I mean, that's something that's going to carry over. And Zemo on the loose, that's something that's going to carry over.
Sam even says, if you caught it in like the, I don't know if it was like the second episode, where he's like, yeah, we just always fight like the same three.
Yo, that's things. Just, that's
and,
funny.
And he said like wizards, you know, as the last one. And I was like, oh, like that's them just like nodding.
Androids, wizards, and aliens.
Yeah. And that's just them like giving a nod. So now we're gonna see this like witchcraft, right?
Yeah.
Like come into more play in that's the dope. MCU. It's gonna be exciting.
Yeah. So
and then you have Loki with like his magic, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's an alien.
Yeah, but it's
and who
it's,
knows what kind of
but it's turning
he's having in the universe.
Sure.
The focus on like the magical is something that I'm like really excited about.
Yeah. I'm stoked about Spider-Man because I just saw something leak.
What?
And I don't even know if it's legit. But somebody,
Amazing Spider-Man one suit.
The
t-shirt.
Thing?
Yeah.
Yes. Of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man costume.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, that's so on the nose. And how would you expect nobody to report that?
And there was also some, and I saw it. It might have been part of the same picture. There's like a, I don't know if it was a press image or something like an invite, something like that, where like every font, the fonts used all of the fonts from like Raimi's Spider-Man font.
Yeah.
And like the different movies and stuff like that.
And
so
it was funny because it, like a couple of weeks, maybe it was even like a month ago, I saw a leaked photo of Tom Holland in in the Raimi suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that shit blew my mind. I was like, yo, I don't know what's happening with this. But I'm like, I'm going to tell you something. They drop a Spider-Man trailer with all of some of this stuff sprinkled. Going to be the biggest Spider-Man movie ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm telling you now, it's going to be the biggest Spider-Man movie. This is going to do like Avengers money.
Yeah.
It could.
We gotta wait.
Which Avengers? Right, you're talking about the first, or Age of Ultron money or Endgame
like,
money?
I'm talking like billions of dollars.
Mm.
He's like, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, the first two of they made a lot of money. It's not like they were struggling anyway. So sure, it's not crazy to think if you add all that other stuff, you get a couple $100 million dollar bump. All of a sudden, there you are. You're over $1 billion.
Yeah, Far From Home made a billion.
Yeah, and it was eight something for $8.85.
And I totally forget that we're in this crisis, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take my comments with a grain of salt.
But that
by
is December.
Yeah. By December.
And you're going to have Christmas falling there and a couple holiday weekends. Yeah. That usually bodes well.
It's going to be a nice setup.
And then you got July 29th, 2022, which is the release date for Black Adam, which The Rock announced today, actually,
finally,
as we record
15
this.
Years after he announced the first.
Yes. And now this movie is shaping up to be a big deal. Yeah, now, they announced Pierce Brosnan.
Dr. Fate,
one of my all-time favorite characters. Love Dr. Fate. That's been one of my, like, people always ask me, like, what character, like, lesser-known character, like, would you love? I always say two things. I say The Question, and I say Dr. Fate.
Hmm.
Yeah. And now, finally, we're at least getting, we still need to get that. HBO Max, by the way, would be perfect for a Question series. Give me like an R-rated Question series. Amazing. But yeah, Dr. Fate and another DC casting announcement too, that Billy Crudup is being replaced in The Flash as Henry Allen because of a scheduling conflict, not because they're looking to erase, because all of a sudden, because of he's on that show that just won like an Emmy or something, right? And that was not expected to be that successful, and now because they had to push the production back, the heck was the name of this show that he just won? Golden Globe, maybe? The Morning Show, it's called. It's an Apple TV Plus. Show. Yeah, he just won like a Golden Globe or something for it. And anyway, when they first announced the movie, he wasn't in it, and now he's in this, and he's because of the scheduling changes, because of COVID, he's not going to be able to do it. But Ron Livingston, who will always be Peter Gibbons to me, he is now going to play the role, and I'm okay with that because
they kind of look alike.
I celebrate Ron Livingston's entire catalog. So
there you go.
Cool.
Including that horrible show, A Million Little Things, that he was on?
No, that was just an Office Space reference.
Yeah.
Because that's just a classic. And yeah. So, yeah. So
and then Helen Mirren. Didn't Helen Mirren get cast as well in The Flash? Black Adam didn't, or something?
Yeah.
Shazam 2. I don't know. One of those things. She's playing a goddess. Oh shit! Did I catch you guys off guard?
I think it was Shazam.
See something like this. She's Shazam. Yeah.
Yeah, Shazam.
There you go.
Main villain.
Shinoop.
Hespera.
There you go. Shinoop.
She's the daughter of Atlas.
Not looking forward to that.
I swear to God, I despise Shazam.
Yeah.
I try to watch it again. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's not a favorite.
Not at all. Well, you excited about Black Adam, though?
Yeah, I mean, well, hey, man, I'll drink the sweat off that man's head.
So funny that he wasn't voted. You know how like they voted like the world's sexiest like bald men.
Who did they give it to?
They gave it to Prince William.
What?
And,
well, I think it's because The Rock is artificially bald. What do you mean, no, he's not?
What do you mean?
Watch that dude's hairline just go like this.
Really?
Yo, hell yeah.
All right, well, he'll have to grow it back in to prove it.
He says it, too. He says, you know, it's funny that he said that. He did say that. Oh, like he was, because he'd have like a weird fro. I'm like, bro, it was going up, and then it just started doing this, the loopy thing up here, you know, and before the Red Sea starts to part, it's kind of like, bro, you're definitely bald.
Yeah, so he had a really funny reaction, and like the internet, all like Stanley Tucci fans were also really outraged that Prince William was voted.
Oh, I've seen everybody do it too. Larry David fans are up in arms too, and like jokingly, obviously, but like Patton Oswalt.
But he still has hair though.
He got, you know what's funny? Like the way he looks, like
he's not committed.
He needs to cut that shit.
He needs to commit. Wow, you need to commit to the new look.
I'm going to say Chinope on this conversation.
I think they gave it to him to kind of like steer away from the drama that's going on.
We're
going to
give you the sexy bald. Get the hell out of here, sexy bald. He looks like us. Whatever.
So Aaron, you don't want to drink his sweat. Is that what you said?
No.
Right.
No. Got it.
Tastes like tea.
All right.
Earl Grey. Instead of Zoa. Oh, boy.
No. Wow. This went.
Evolved on this show.
So,
Black Adam.
Yeah.
That's going to make a lot of money.
You think?
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb.
If they show him, like, seriously kicking some ass. Which he likely will.
Absolutely.
You know? Like in a legit kind of way, like in a superhero kind of way.
Yeah.
Not just in a, you know, I'm a big dude throwing elbows and doing old school wrestling moves in my movies. You know?
Yeah.
You got to deliver.
And then
like
if they.
Flying in the air and just straight up smacking the shit out of people.
Yeah, like I really hope it's like we see Black Adam.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Not just The Rock.
And not just The Rock. And make it all about him.
That's
like
the problem.
Like everything is kind of like going that direction now, and I really don't like it.
It's the one fear that you would have to have is that he's such a dominating personality that you would hope that you're going to be able to get past the fact that you're looking at The Rock in a costume, in the Black Adam costume.
Yeah.
I think it'll be okay. I mean, this has been a passion project of his, so I would... You know what I mean? It's not like they cast him in this and he's like, his passion. So it would be weird if he made it like all about him, especially since he's, I mean, they like the Justice Society and Dr. Fate. I mean, these are like deep cuts that are in this movie, you know? So it's like, there's clearly some love there being put into this. And
have you seen the second Jumanji?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an instance where I feel like, He relinquished some of that. Like, I'm going to be me in this movie.
He had
to be Danny DeVito in that dude's body.
Right.
What is Jumanji? Like that was awesome.
Yeah.
So watching him kind of flex that, I thought that was pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. Black Adam.
Yeah. I mean, DC's
got signed up for that 15 years.
Yeah. DC's got a nice run going. I mean, it's unfortunate that, and again, we don't know what theaters are going to do. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with these movies now that are coming out, like not so much right now, but the ones coming out like towards the summer and whatnot that are going to have more of like the hybrid release, like where the box office falls. I mean, not that this is necessarily related, but I think it is in a sense as far as like what people are willing to do and how excited they are to do things. UFC put 15,000 tickets on sale for their April 24th show in Jacksonville, and they sold out in 5 minutes. And they're going to be putting out tickets. They're going to be putting tickets on sale for their May show. I think it's May in Houston, full arena. And it's going to be interesting to see how quickly those sell. But clearly there's a demand for people to get out and be able to do things. So it'll be interesting to see with people having the ability to watch these movies at home, if they choose that route, you know, without having to pay the additional fee versus going out to the theater and like having the day out into the theater. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what these numbers look like towards the summer for these bigger films, like a movie like The Suicide Squad, like to see like what does that movie do theatrically versus, you know, at home? Because it's really the wave of the future, right? So that's how I think ultimately things are going to be. We're going to see shorter theatrical windows. We're going to see movies being streamed sooner and sometimes at the same time and things like that. And I think it'll be fun to see how that plays out. There's clearly still a market for theaters, especially overseas. But it'll be interesting to see where the U.S. market is right now. You know, because forget the pandemic for a second, just in the idea of like lockdowns and all of that stuff. It's just we have now become accustomed over a year now, and for a better part of this year is still going to be able to stream things and watch things at home.
Yeah.
And as much as people are going to still want to get out and, you know, will want to go to a movie for different reasons, dates or just getting date out with the friends or whatever, like how many people are just going to stay home and watch these movies versus how many people are still going to go to theaters? It's going to be fascinating to see what that market looks like.
Yeah, yeah. I also think, like, even pre-pandemic, you know, how many times did I go to a movie every 6 months or a year, right? Like, I would kind of choose the types of movies that I really wanted to go see in theaters. And I feel like with this, like, hybrid model, yeah, you can still choose, like, that one or two. Like, you want to see Eternals, right, Aaron? Like, that's the movie you'll watch in theaters. But everything else, you're fine with watching on HBO Max. You're the typical viewer now is getting exposed to more of your brand, actually.
Yeah.
Than before, it would be like, okay, well, I just went to see – I can't go see a movie every week.
Right.
You know, for, like, the general person.
I think for Disney Plus – Black Widow is going to set a precedent for the service. I think HBO Max is probably kicking itself 100 times over for not offering anything in premium.
Yes.
And that becomes becomes even more evident to me, because if you had the Snyder cut being released, like, not only should that have been a draw for people to go and get your service, but you should have been charging people extra money for that.
Yeah.
Just opportunity.
Everyone would have paid.
100%.
Yeah.
I would have paid for that. But, like, I think for Disney Plus, I mean, obviously, and they stated this when they made the move, when they shifted their date, that they still value the, you know, the stream model, and it's a priority for them. So there's going to – and, you know, outside of the stuff that we talked about on the show – the next Pixar movie is also being released on Disney Plus. They're going to be distributing other films on premium access.
Premium access.
Not the Pixar film. The Pixar is free, but there's another film. I forgot which.
That's two Pixar movies in a row then that are going free.
They're going to Disney Plus. Yeah. So like, there's a whole bunch of road laying that's happening now that I think, you know, at least from my perspective, Disney Plus is doing a great job of kind of doing. I don't know what Netflix has up their sleeve. I don't think they're going to be playing this game because they charge so much money anyways. Like, they can't do anything premium. And they don't really have access to, like, those.
And they also have, like, 100 something or 200 million subscribers or something like that. So it's like they're in a completely different stratosphere.
They're in a different sphere. But like, you know, Disney, HBO Max, and others are like reshaping the game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I think it's here to stay for sure.
I would hope that Premier Access is, because I think that Premier Access, and again, it might piss off theater owners and stuff like that, but you know what? They're charging a premium, right? So Premier Access, I'm going to pay more to watch it at home than I would if I wanted to go to the theater.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, yes, I get it. You can still have like 10 people over and you can do pay. I get all of that. I understand it. But, you know, Disney's in full control over that. And I don't think that these theater operators right now are in any position to say, well, we're not going to carry your film if you do that. Because
I mean, some are though.
Yeah, but they're hurting. The theaters are hurting. They need any of the help they could get, and they're gonna have to roll the dice and say, "Hey, you know what? Let's hope that people still want to come out to our theater."
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I forgot what movie it was. It may have been Raya, this latest one. I may totally be misspeaking here, but there was a recent film. It may be Raya that. that some theater chains decided not to pick up because they weren't getting a fair shake on it from the studio.
Yeah.
Because of the premiere.
I mean, look, here's the thing. I'd like to see, too, with Disney, how do these Disney Plus shows affect people's desire to want to go see some of these movies? Like, and what I mean by that is, by the time, and not so much Black Widow, but like a movie like Shang-Chi, right?
Yeah.
So this is not an A-list character, right? Mm. And not that they haven't done this before, but, you know, in years past, people would have gone to see it because it's the new Marvel movie that's out.
Right.
And that's how people experienced Marvel movies. But by the time that movie comes out, you'll have had WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, Black Widow. It's like, does that make it a little, huh?
They're familiar.
Yeah. Does that make it easier for people to say, hey, you know what? I've gotten my Marvel fix. I can skip this one or maybe wait 3 months and then it'll be on Disney Plus and I'll just watch it then. And I'll wait because then a month later or 2 months later, I'm going to have the turn and then I'm going to have Spider-Man. Like, I think that, you know, there eventually you're going to start to get some of that, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see because Eternals. So it's Shang-Chi and Eternals are the like weird ones.
Yeah.
Right? Those are new. I mean, we'll see how they perform. I'll tell you, like, without having seen any of the marketing, like if it delivers. Right, so which one comes first? Is it Shang-Chi that comes first?
Shang-Chi is September.
We'll see what those trailers look like, because if they're like next level shit.
Well, I mean, and I don't think they will be that. But
I also think Chloe Zhao is probably going to win the Oscar, and that's going to push Eternals.
Yeah.
Forward, you know?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Like someone might say, like, oh, yeah, I want to go watch her next movie.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see if the existence of the Marvel Disney Plus, you know, stuff, just if it is oversaturates the market to the point where, like,
detracts you from
movies may become skippable, whereas in the past people wouldn't. And not that, I mean, look, like the Ant-Man movies didn't do as well, obviously, as the other movies and things like that. So there are always movies that didn't do as well as others. But does it make those types of movies more skippable?
It depends on where it is and what the narrative is being stitched, right? So, like, everyone ran to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp because it fell after Avengers Infinity War.
Right.
Right? And the snap happened. And so people were like, oh, my God, I got to see what's going on after that.
But even that still didn't, you know, it did better than the first one, but it still didn't do, you know, what did it do, like 600 million worldwide, 750, something like that.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So I'd be curious to see if it does have any effect on that, because you get your Marvel fix now. There's so many different ways to get it.
But now it's few and far between to a certain degree.
Sure.
So, like, you'll have Loki, and then you have a, like, you're missing.
Well, yeah, but then you're going to have Black Widow, and by that point, and no, actually, you're going to have Black Widow, and then you're going to have Loki right after that. So by the time Shang-Chi comes out,
Loki is in July?
It's July 11th, yeah.
Yeah, so in Shang-Chi is September?
September 3rd.
You've got a little bit of time in between that Marvel.
Well, not that much, because you figure, what is Loki, six? Is it six episodes?
What else is coming out, though?
Right, well, that's the thing. But I'm saying, so you got 6 weeks there, so that's almost right up to Shang-Chi at that point. And Black Widow 2 days before Loki. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just curious to see if it has an effect, because I feel like there was a period there where I missed Marvel. We didn't have any Marvel last year.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, and now it's like we have not just movies coming out, but now we have these shows coming out too. And it's like there's just a whole lot of Marvel.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think Shang-Chi is going to be the one to change it for me, because WandaVision at home, Falcon and Winter Soldier at home,
yep,
Black Widow at home,
right, and Loki at home,
yeah.
Shang-Chi might be the thing where I'm like, yo, I need to catch it on the big screen.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Depending on the trailer.
All right.
Well, then.
On that note, let's get out of here. Of course, go to the go to the fanboygarage.com and check out our episodes in our merch store, and of course join the conversation. No conspiracy theories, though. Just regular conversation on the social medias, at the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, at the Fanboy Garage. And, of course, check out our videos. We are back this episode on video. It's on our YouTube channel, the Fanboy Garage Podcast. Like, subscribe, and all that fun stuff. You can see Aaron do things. And you can find me on Twitter at RealCLMighty.
You guys can tweet me at @Vanana_TFG.
And you can send me hate mail at @AAronSpeaks on Twitter. That is @A_A_RonSpeaks. Thank you once again for listening to episode 137 of the Fanboy Garage. We'll catch you guys next week.
You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.